Chapter 44. The CSI unit arrived, followed by Captain Healy, the state homicide commander. "Another fine mess," Healy said. "It is, isn't it?" Jesse said. They walked to Marisol's body, followed by the crime scene techs. They looked at her, small and bloodied. Then Jesse told Healy what he knew. Peter Perkins approached them. "No answer at either of his numbers," Perkins said, referring to his notepad. "His phone greeting says he's hiking in Grand Teton National Park and'll be out of cell range for a number of days. Carrier says the greeting was recorded in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, 1 week ago. I also found a voicemail message from him on Marisol's cell. It, too, came from Jackson Hole. Also 1 week ago. There's been no activity on his phone since."
"Suggesting that he might actually be hiking in the Tetons," Healy said.
"Not likely," Jesse said.
"How so?"
"If he was driving across country, he could just as easily have taken the northern route, stopped in Wyoming, made the two calls, and then continued on his way here."
"Smoke and mirrors?"
"Be my guess," Jesse said.
"So where is he now?"
"That would be the question, wouldn't it?"
"Bauer wanted me to tell you that Rooney drives a late-model Toyota Prius," Perkins said. "He's put the description and the plate number on the wire."
"Thanks, Pete," Jesse said.
"No problem."
Perkins hurried away.
"Tell me again why you think it was the husband," Healy said.
"He's some kind of movie star, right?"
"Not a star. An actor, though."
"Why do you think it's him?"
"Copley intuition."
"Gut rumbling, you mean?"
"Eloquently stated."
"Thank you."
Jesse didn't say anything.
"There are going to be repercussions," Healy said.
"Meaning?"
"High-profile case like this, I'm betting that the first person I hear from will be Lucas Wellstein."
"The Boston FBI agent?"
"The very same. He'll want to get his fangs into this one."
"Can you stall him?"
"Hard to say. Once the tabloids blow this thing onto page one, he'll smell the ink and want some of it. I'll do my best to protect your jurisdiction, but I can't promise anything."
"He'll be a pain in the ass, right?"
"Worse."
Jesse entered Paradise General Hospital and checked in with the chief resident, Jim Lafferty, who told him that Frankie had pulled through the surgery and was now in recovery, where she would spend the rest of the night. Her prognosis was uncertain. "She lost a great deal of blood," Lafferty said. "The bullet did some serious arterial and tissue damage. At the very least, we were able to repair the torn arteries and stabilize her. Now it's a question of hurry up and wait."
"What do you think?" Jesse said.
"We'll know more in the morning."
"May I see her?"
"Not a good idea. She's unconscious and hooked up to a shitload of IVs and monitoring devices."
Jesse sighed.
"She's in good hands, Jesse," Lafferty said. "She's resting comfortably. We're optimistic."
The two men shook hands. Jesse looked at his watch and saw that it was nearly 2 a.m. He went home and sleeplessly waited for morning.